Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Credit Access Grameen Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhuva.
Yeah. Thanks, Nirav. Hello and good morning to everyone. Welcome to the Credit Access Grameen Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Uday Kumar, MD and CEO, Mr. Balakrishna Kamath, CFO, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, VP, Investor Relations. I will now request Mr. Uday Kumar to take us through the brief highlights of Q1 FY23, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank the management team for giving us the opportunity to host the Q1 FY23 earnings call. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Uday Kumar for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Renish. Good morning to everyone, and very warm welcome to our conference call to discuss financial and operational performance of Q1 FY23. Before we begin the discussion on Q1 FY23 result, I would like to urge you all to go through our FY22 integrated annual report available on our website, which provides a deep dive into the resiliency of our business model, cross-cycle return ratios, and sustainability reporting. Microfinance business has a vital role to play in the long-term development of the society at the bottom of the pyramid. Hence, it is important for us to make ESG as an integral part of our business strategy going forward. We have always strived towards maintaining high corporate governance standards with an independent board structure, extensive board supervision through the required committees. We have strengthened our ESG policy framework for effective identification, monitoring, and addressal of ESG opportunities and risks. Our strategic CSR initiatives helps us to work towards betterment of our community and address environmental and climate-related opportunities and risks in future. Last year, we completed an extensive exercise to identify our GHG inventory, including Scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. Based on these baseline figures, we aim to establish emission reduction targets and take various emission offsetting measures through our lending business along with our CSR activities. We believe that rural economy is poised for robust growth owing to a healthy monsoon, improved agriculture output with higher price realization, and revival in overall economic activities. The central bank's quick response to tame inflation has shown positive signs as the inflation trajectory seems to be near to its peak. Our customer base, which is largely from rural areas, is always part of a self-sufficient economy wherein their livelihoods are reliant on the local ecosystem. This, coupled with the discretionary nature of their spending, engagement in multiple income-generating activities helps to generate counterbalancing income streams, further adds to their resiliency. We have never witnessed any disruption in repayment discipline during high inflation environment or due to volatile macroeconomic factors in early years of our experience. Our consolidated gross loan portfolio grew by 23.3% YOY to rupees 15,615 crore. As indicated before, business momentum was muted during the first quarter, resulting in a QOQ decline in our loan portfolio. Historically, even during stable period, growth has been always slower during first half. Our primary focus during Q1 FY23 was particularly on maintaining a strong collection discipline and ensuring complete alignment with the new microfinance harmonized guidelines announced by RBI in March 2022. This involved formulation of necessary board approved policies, implementation of the required process changes, ensuring necessary technology changes to our core banking system, and extensive training for our large field force in both CA Grameen and MFL. The process transition led to lower disbursement and new borrower additions during April and May 2022. We are happy that complete alignment on the new regulations in all aspects are ensured in the 2 months. Further, there were limited loan renewals during Q1 FY23, majority due to minimal disbursements in Q1 FY21 and Q1 FY22, owing to COVID-19 pandemic. Additionally, we also undertook branch expansion during this quarter. The new process transition took a little longer time at MFL, as there we are currently operating on two technology platforms, 70% book on CA Grameen tech platform and remaining 20% book on MFL old tech platform. Our consolidated borrower base witnessed QoQ decline to 36.9 lakh, given that 1.2 lakh borrowers were written off during the first quarter, while the addition of new borrower was over 92,000. Further renewal of loan for over 1 lakh borrower is under process, majority of them being renewed during Q2, which is also a reason for reduced active borrower count as on June 22. After ensuring full compliance with new RBI guidelines we had implemented in the months of April and May 2022, the daily disbursement trend normalized in CA Grameen during June 2022 and MFL normalized in June 2022. Out of 2,146 crore disbursed during Q1 FY23, rupees 1,105 crore was disbursed in June 2022. Similarly, out of 92,000+ new customer borrower added during Q1 FY23, around 44,000 were added in June 2022. Again, in July 2022, our disbursement crossed 1,200 crore, and we added over 87 new borrowers, which is historic high for July. As a result, our loan portfolio increased by more than rupees 2,000 crore in July 2022, 200 crore in July 2022. We thus anticipate robust business momentum during Q2 FY23 and following quarters. As said earlier, we continue to march ahead with our branch expansion plan as we opened 50 new branches in Q1 FY23, primarily in newer states. With two branches merged and two branches of MFL closed, the total tally, two BC branches of MFL closed, the total tally increased to 1,681 branches as on June 22. 56% of our new borrower addition on a consolidated basis came outside of the top three states during the first quarter, steering the direction of the future growth. We continue to maintain the status of healthy collections and strong asset quality during Q1. At Grameen, the collection efficiency excluding arrears improved from 96% in Q4 to 97%, and MFL collection efficiency excluding arrears improved from 91% in Q4 to 93%. Further, collection efficiency excluding arrears and excluding non-paying NPA customers touched 99% for Grameen and 96% for MFL in June 2022. On a consolidated basis, NII grew by 30.9% YoY to 461.5 crore, and PPOP grew by 33.9% YoY to 289.7 crore. The credit cost was 100.9 crore, which also included the impact of write-off of rupees 191.1 crore. The credit cost was partially offset by rupees 10.4 crore bad debt recovery during the first quarter. PAT was rupees 139.6 crore, resulting in ROA of 3.1% and ROE of 13.4%. GNPA 60 DPD reduced from 3.61% in March 2022 to 3.11% in June 2022. PAR 90 reduced from 2.71% in March 2022 to 2.33% in June 2022, while net NPA reduced from 1.31% in March 2022 to 1.15% in June 2022. Overall, ECL stood at 3.01% at the end of June 2022. We are happy to announce that we have recently received a credit rating upgrade to AA- stable, the highest notch in the microfinance industry from India Ratings. This upgrade will have positive benefit in our cost and diversity of borrowings going forward. While we have currently operating with one of the lowest borrowing costs, resulting in one of the lowest interest rate to our customers, the future benefits accruing from the rating upgrade shall also be gradually passed on to the customers. We also would like to highlight that we have been conferred with the highest level of recognition, the Gold Standard in Credit Protection Principles certification. It's a global framework that determines the degree of credit protection practices followed across the loan cycle in our pursuit to creating capital at the bottom of the pyramid. We continue to maintain healthy liquidity position as on June 22 with INR 1,542 crore. Another INR 3,755 crore undrawn sanctions and 5,393 crores of sanctions in pipeline. In line with our liability strategy, we continue to focus on increasing the share of long-term international borrowings. On a consolidated basis, international sources accounted for 17% of our undrawn sanctions and 20% of our sanctions in pipeline. We are also working on international ratings, which we aim to complete by end of this financial year, which shall further strengthen our fundraising plan in future. We remain sanguine on achieving our annual growth and profitability guidance given for FY23. We had anticipated the muted growth during Q1 while building our annual guidance plan. Even in the case of cost of credit, we anticipate 60-65% of the annual credit cost to be borne in HY to FY23 and 35-40% to be borne in HY FY23. We expect to grow with robust new borrower additions over coming quarters. Last of all, before we open the forum for Q&A session, I would like to briefly touch upon a minor accounting change which we shall be implementing from Q2 FY23. The income generating loans were currently accounted in balance sheet using fair value through OCI method. Under Ind AS 109, this method is primarily used when a larger proportion of loans are to be sold through direct assignment or securitization. As per our liability policy, we shall maintain short-term borrowing, including direct assignment or securitization, only to the extent of 10-15% of gross AUM. Hence, we have been advised by our auditors to account the loans in our balance sheet using amortized cost method beginning from Q2 FY23. In case of fair value through OCA method, the outstanding loans are valued at every balance sheet date, and a fair value adjustment are transferred to equity through other comprehensive income. Important to note that there will be no impact on PAT under either way of accounting. Now, when we shift to amortized cost method going forward, there will not be any adjustment to be made through other comprehensive income. This will reduce the non-cash fluctuations in our equity. As on June 22, OCI in our equity was negative by rupees 63 crore under fair value through OCI method. Shifting to amortized cost method will lead to reversal of OCI, leading to increase in our equity in Q2 FY23. This will also add to our capital adequacy. We reiterate that there will not be any impact on PAT. Thank you for patient hearing. This is a bit long. We would now like to open the forum for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Pooja Ahuja from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my questions were mainly relating to Madhura Microfinance. So if I sequentially look at the non-paying customers, that has risen QOQ, and the NPAs have also remained sort of stable. So just wanted your thoughts on the asset quality in Madhura Microfinance.
Thank you, Pooja. As we already anticipated earlier, Madhura has always a little lag effect because of the model itself. But already 73% of the book is in Grameen platform, which is actually more than 99% collections. The 23% of the old book, 27% of the old book has some, residual impact, but it is reducing and it's already provided to a large extent. So therefore, we believe that the residual impact there is quite low. percentage is due to reduce in the AUM actually. So therefore, absolute value, the NPA remains stable actually there also.
Sure.
And then the overall basis that impact is quite negligible.
Right. And sir, on the yield front, while we've seen that other NBFC players have sort of taken a steep hike, what I could see in your standalone book, the yields have actually declined sequentially. So just wanted to understand why is there a decline in this quarter?
Decline in this quarter was quite nominal actually. So that is because of a little higher liquidity maintenance as we are not dispersed too much of load, too much of loans in the for April and May. Also in the March quarter we had actually did a transaction of DA which also had loaded the NIA actually. So if you nullify that factor, so you are if you nullify that effect, that also will change. And third is the base effect. About 5.9% of portfolio also has come down. Therefore, there's a base effect. There are three factors together. It's a very marginal decrease in the NAM.
Okay, but we have taken for the new book, we have taken hike, right?
Of course, yes. Your overall portfolio actually should go up by 50-60 bips in this financial year. Because the impact is only in April, May, June, the disbursement is quite low. Therefore, the new increased interest impact is yet to come in this quarter, you know, in this half year or in this financial year.
Sure. Okay. Fine. That's it from mine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a question on the repayment rate. So basically in the last couple of quarters, you were seeing a repayment rate of around 100%. Now, if we take that kind of, if first quarter had also seen the similar kind of repayment rate, I think your AUM growth would have been, decline would have been very different. So can you please talk about why has the repayment rate declined from plus 100% to around 74% in this quarter?
100% to 97, there's no 100% was including areas, if at all, if I remember correctly, because when you have ODUs are large, then the repayment on the ODU, if you recover, then your repayment go. Otherwise, it is largely between 96 to 97. It was in the quarter ending March, it was 96% and it's moved to 97%. There's an increase in the collection rate. I don't understand which point you are actually referring to.
The repayment rate is at 75%. I mean, if I just calculate the AUM, if I subtract the AUM and disbursement and come at a repayment that, number that you have made for the quarter, that comes at around 75%.
Not able to get the point, Shreya. Maybe we can reach out to Nilesh separately.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, couple of things. So one on this the incremental growth from the newer states. If I remember correctly, on the total book, our unique customer base used to be 40-45%. But when we are entering the new geographies, this unique customer base remains same or. Since we are in sort of relatively, newer to the geography and, the competition might have already tapped that market. So what kind of unique customer base we are seeing when you are entering new geography, sir?
Actually, our unique customer base in a new geography is higher than the main markets, because main markets is the older geography where we have been operating for decades. Well, in unique states, the new states, we are actually, close to 50% for unique customers. Mainly because of the rural penetration, what we have been doing.
Got it. Okay. So we are not generally second, third lender when you are entering a new geography, I mean?
No. Because by the fact that we told last time, you know, also, our 40% of the new customers are actually new to credit. And this is higher in the newer states.
Okay. So 40% is new to credit and 50% is sort of unique to us.
Almost in the newer states. In the older states, it's slightly lower. Correct.
Okay. And sir, secondly, on this, this new regulation on the retail loans, which allow us to build 25% of the book under non-MFI category. So this is largely from the, in fact, the liability perspective because, let's say all in all, we have always maintained a liability tenure of 20 to 24 months, having a tenure of 16, 17 months. But once we start building this book, of course, which will be a longer tenure, maybe 3 years, 5 years. So, sir, what is our liability strategy going ahead to, let's say we have to first secure the liability before we start scaling up the retail book. So just your thoughts on the liability book would be helpful, sir.
Yeah. Actually, it's important not just for retail, that's it, point of view. Even the microfinance also we should look at a longer and stable liable. That's liability. That's why we told earlier also at least in 2 to 3 years' time, we will have at least 30-35% of international borrowing, which is stable and long-term. Already, we are working on that, which is partly for microfinance, also even for retail finance also, this will help, actually. Mm. So, once we complete the international rating, we'll have ability to go for long-term bonds internationally, which will help us to manage kind of asset structure. So positive ALM and the stable liability is going to be a key factor for stable asset management also, with which we are very cautious and careful in handling that.
Got it. And so just a last verification on the disbursement number. So for July, you said the 2,000 crore of disbursement and 80,000
new borrowers. No, sorry. 1,200 crores of disbursement. 1,200 plus exact number now. It's 1,200 plus crores of disbursement, 80,000 plus crores of new customers. The portfolio addition is 200. Yeah. Portfolio increased by 200 crores.
Got it. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Ganesh.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Jhaveri from MK Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Two questions from my side. One, if I look at your credit cost, the table that you have given, even in this quarter, our non-annualized credit cost was roughly about 70 basis points because of the write-offs. We have highlighted our medium-term target of about 140, 150 basis points of credit cost. Would this be a target which can be achieved this year or would it spill over to next year?
Kashyap, we anticipated or guided 2 to 2.2% for the current financial year and the reduced credit cost for next financial year, considering that we still have a residual impact of COVID-19 on the book. So we also said that 60 to 65% of the credit cost for the year would come in the first half and the 30-35-40% of the credit cost would come in the second half. Considering the first two quarters, you would still need to write off some residual item. If you see, we still have 1.15% of net NPA. So, therefore, it would be between 2 to 2.2%, which is, sorry, not 2 to 2, so 1.8 to 2%, I'm sorry. We are guided 1.8 to 2% for this financial year, of which 60-65% will be in the first half, balance is in second half. That is what we expect, and we are not expecting to increase beyond that.
Right. And second question is on our disbursement number. So if I look at July number now, on annualized basis would be roughly about 15,000 odd crores. which would be sort of slack number. This 1,200 crores is standalone or including MMFL?
It is consolidated.
Right. So, which will be equal to, what we did for the full year last year. So considering that, second half, usually is better than the first half, and March is, one of the, best quarters. Do you think, I mean, what could be the full year, AUM growth that's possible, in light of this, adherence now to the new norms?
Kashyap, we have guided in the last quarter about our guidance of 24%-25% growth, AUM growth. We seem to be compromising on that number. We should be good with the guidance what we already made.
Sure. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kashyap.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. So sir, my question is on-
Hi, Abhishek.
Hi, sir. So sir, my question is on the cost of funds. So I think your opening cost of funds was 8.8. Your incremental went up by 20 basis points to 8.6, but it is still lower than your outstanding. But your cost of funds end of this quarter went up to 9. So just wanted to understand the walk there, because I thought that the cost of funds would still come down, given your incremental is lower than the outstanding.
No, our overall cost of borrowing increased from 8.9% to 9%. It's about 0.1%. So it's because of some of the repricing by the lenders. But it will be still, we assumed earlier also, even if 1% increase of overall cost, our cost would go up by 25-30 basis points. That's what we assumed. So it is in line with, the same process. We also increased our lending cost by another 25 basis points for Q2 already.
Okay. And for your foreign borrowings, what is the all-in landed cost?
It will be between 9.25 to 9.75 on an average, which will be minimum 3 years of what you call moratorium kind of thing, and the repayment starts after 3 years. So it will be a patient money. Therefore, 50 to 75 basis points will really still be good for us, actually positive for us.
Okay. And given that part of your yield increase is going to now flow through in 2Q, 3Q and 4Q, how do you see your NIM moving for the rest of the year?
So we are expecting the NIM to move towards almost by around 50 basis points for this financial year. And another 50 basis points should go up in the next financial year, considering that most of our loans are 2 year loans, with the old book has to, run down, and then the new book will build. So overall, about 120 bps is supposed to be increasing over 2 years' time. So 50 to 60 bps should come this year, and balance will come next year.
Okay. And this assumes how much, what mix of foreign borrowings, let's say 2 years down the line, from 18%?
Maybe going up to about 30%, 25 to 30%. That we are expecting that much. Because if you see right now already in our undrawn funds, already 17% new borrowings are there, foreign funds.
Right.
And the already sanctioned status may have 20% foreign borrowings are there. So we have a good pipeline already. So which means that we should be good in terms of at least 20-25% in this financial year itself. And 20% is financial, and by next year 25-30% kind of thing. So with the ESG as well as ESG compliance as well as international rating will further add to that portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. And the international rating, how much would it bring down your incremental cost of funds by foreign borrowings by? What is the international rating in terms of?
The international rating will access you for international bonds. Today we are access only the FPI funds or from a foreign portfolio players or a development organization like IFC or FMO or DFC. So whereas if you want to access the bonds like whether green bonds or gender bond or social bonds, you need the international rating, which will reduce the cost also.
But
it will have a longer period and...
Please go ahead.
No. Pricing, we had to get into that. For example, if you compare the bonds being raised by some of the lenders in India, the rates are between 7.5 to 9% kind of thing.
Okay. Understood. So the second thing is on provisions. Given that Madura still has a little, higher NPAs and past numbers, how do you see that coming out through the year? You know, how much write-off would probably need to be taken and what kind of provisions would we anticipate just from that book?
So, the exact value will be difficult because it's about two quarters, one quarter lag from Grameen kind of things. But it is insignificant because against the overall portfolio. Therefore, the credit cost point of view, we are still good to have not more than 2%. So exact value of provisioning, right now we have about, how much? 3.8%?
5.3%.
No, Madura only. Madura is higher. Overall we have 3%. Madura 5.8%, I believe.
That is GNPA.
GNPA. 4.3% provision already there against the GNPA at 60 days of 5.8%. So largely we have full good coverage there already.
Okay. So basically 2Q may be a little higher, and then as you said 3Q, 4Q, the provision level should come down.
Correct.
Understood, sir. Thanks for your time, and congratulations on the ESG disclosures. They were pretty detailed. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity.
Nikhil, sorry to interrupt. There is a lot of static coming from your line. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Some noise. Yeah, no better, Nikhil.
Okay. Sir, you have mentioned that in the newer states, you are primarily acquiring new-to-credit customers, and also we have been venturing into these newer states now since past 4-5 quarters. So what's our strategy there? How is the behavior of the customers which we are lending to, and how is the competition in these newer states? As these newer states basically where we are entering are already penetrated by other MFIs. So just wanted to get your views on that.
Maybe a bit comprehensive. So the way of operating continue to remain the district based approach, to go through inch by inch moving towards the next district and go deeper in the each district so that have access to the deep rural in every district where we operate. If you look at our branches today, it's almost 5.1 per district, probably, which is the largest per district if you compare to the industry. So many of the competitors, we understand that there are quite a lot of MFIs are there, but what we saw largely the operating in the urban or a semi-urban kind of things. So we have not seen too much competition. That itself is the validity is that we get almost 50% new to credit customers. So we always expect to have new customers so that we can build a specific culture, what we have been, discipline and the training and the culture we can build properly. That is why we want to go deep, want to acquire new customers so that we can grow and retain them over a long period of time. So with definitely the newer states are giving that opportunity for us. So be it Gujarat, be it Rajasthan, UP, Bihar, Orissa, Jharkhand. And we also seen very good traction and very good discipline in this newer geography and newer customer base.
And how is the competition there?
It's less actually. When you go to deep rural, the competition is less. For example, one of the question being asked about the rejection. No, new to credit is actually we have about 40% new to credit, whereas in newer states are almost close to 50% new to credit. Also rejection rate. For example, our rejection rate is less than 30% actually. So it's an important factor that rural and the domain where we are operating have lesser competition.
Okay. How would be our AUM diversification targets, say, over a three periods of time?
Maybe about 10-12%, not more than that, because the microfinance book also growing quite fast. So we anticipate about 10% growth in the three time, maybe 12% growth in the quarter.
More from the state perspective, like right now, top three states contribute significantly. So from Korea perspective.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about retail. Yeah, but Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, which is close to 78-80% today, should come down to 60-65% in next 3 years' time.
Okay. And sir, how would be our ROA, ROE target for FY23? I mean, you have maintained your guidance, but at this level, what type of ROA, ROE are you looking?
We guided about 4-4.2% for this year, considering that we'll have little higher credit cost. The residual of 2021-22 is still there. So therefore, for the 23, it should be between 4-4.2. Whereas there will be potential delta increase about 50-60 bps going forward.
Okay. So last question from my side on the credit cost. You have already indicated that out of 1.8-2% of credit cost in FY23, 60-65% would be in 1H and then 30-35 in 2H. So out of this credit cost or write-offs which you are undertaking, what type of recovery you are expecting, and do you expect it to start from FY23 itself or in FY24?
We should get good recovery. For example, if you see FY22 itself, we recovered about 65 crores, actually.
Right.
So, and 22. In 23 also, we should recover similar amount, actually, because the return of base is little higher. So, we expect a good amount of recovery from the return of portfolio during this financial year and next financial year also. So, overall, in our experience, what we saw is once we write off, about 10-15% gets recovered in 2-3 years' time.
Okay. Perfect, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks for answering my questions and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants. Please restrict to one question per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Alpesh from IIFL Securities.
Good morning. Just one question, sir. What has been your experience about implementing the new RBI guideline of assessing the income to 3 lakh rupees per household, and how do you see competition behaving on this parameter, and do you see any major changes as far as from our disbursement perspective, any increase in the ticket size or the number of customers being added? Just some color on that. Thank you.
Maybe a little too early to get overall view, including competitors, because as we understand, many of them have not yet fully implemented, and then only few of them may be implemented. So whereas we are able to implement completely in April, May itself, so that thanks to core banking, what we have been operating, which helped us to quickly adopt all this. But the growth perspective, ticket size perspective, we have not changed any tickets actually. We also ensured that the same ticket size what we have been doing without any modification to that. We believe that the growth should come from customer acquisition, not from ticket size. So we anticipate about 10-12% customer growth this year, and for the 25% of the growth should come basically from two components. One is renewals of the customers, and the other is the new customer acquisition. So we have large scope available to acquire new customers across our geography, particularly in the deep rural. And from a impact perspective, so we are not seeing too much impact, but yeah, there are still some manual work from a bureau perspective. Bureau not fully aligned with the combined report. Those some latencies are still there. It will take probably a couple of more months. Otherwise we don't see any challenge. I don't think there is any impact going to happen because of the regulatory changes. So or for the growth also, we have enough opportunities. So we don't see any specific changes here or challenges here.
Okay. So thank you. Just a related question to this. Based on the data that we have collected, what percentage of our customers are qualifying for that 3 lakh rupees as the household income, and what percentage are going beyond that?
See, the numbers are small, but close to 70% of the renewals and the what you call renewals as well as new customers what we acquire together and think, well, I must speak the data. Are really more than 75 actually, at least 70 to 72% of them are eligible.
Okay, and the guys who are not eligible, that will they qualify for the regular retail loans for us now rather than MFI?
See, it's normally at one shot. Sometimes they may borrow lesser value and complain, or they would go for a non-microfinance borrowing job. So it's eligible for them. But the new customer, we are not going to use the non-microfinance. And only for the existing good customers only, we would go for a non-microfinance retail loans.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So this 72% number that you mentioned, the customers are eligible for loans. So what was the number prior to this these guidelines?
It was approximately same, Nidesh. Maybe 2-3% variation, but this is the initial date. That is why still not fully, what you call, some of the bureau said we have to crack a lot and manually do. Probably this will increase by another 5%. See, I think we are not seeing any too much variation. Initially, we had some challenges, but after 2-3 months of efforts, we found that it should be similar lines. So don't see any too much variation. So there may be variation between urban and rural. Because we observed that the urban, it is a rejection is as close to 50%, whereas rural it is quite lower. So the on a combined basis is about 72%.
Sure. And secondly, sir, in the new geographies that we are acquiring customers from, what is the share of customers who are paying on a weekly basis in that? Is the share similar to overall company, or we are seeing higher, lower share?
Yes. It's similar to overall company. It's about 55 to 58% are in weekly. Sure. You're talking about Madura or Grameen?
On a consolidated basis.
Yeah. In the new customer acquisition, it's almost 55 to 58%. Whereas in Madura, when we converted, we have gone little, between weekly and fortnightly. Fortnightly is little higher actually. So because they have been in monthly, they were moving into fortnightly and weekly, a majority. Whereas new customer acquisition, both companies, 55 to 58% are weekly.
Sure. And lastly, sir, any trends on the customer attendance in center meeting? How the trends been?
There is slight reduction in customer attendance, almost 10% lesser than the earlier. But still we have more than 70% of the centers, I mean, with the attendance more than 50% kind of thing. So that's not too much variation. Probably some more time it will take. Within next 3-4 quarters, this also would get corrected.
Sure. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shweta Dapkardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question pertains to cost. So what is the steady state normalized cost income that we are looking at? So I understand that there were branch additions and employee recruits this quarter, or is it the seasonality? And a related question to that, so we saw loan officers run rate quarter on quarter a slight decline. So is it that the new employee addition has happened more on the collection ramp up? Thank you.
Sorry. So there are two issues. One is about the cost, actually, cost to income ratio. So we believe this will remain between 35 to 38% kind of thing, 35 to 40% kind of thing for this financial year. So that seems to be good also. And it's stable. And then the cost of operation is by and large stable, not too variation actually. So I think it's between 4.6 to 4.7 kind of thing. Maybe this year that also will remain at the same level, may not change too much. And the last one is about the loan officers. It is basically in April, May, we concentrated more on training, some attrition, recruitment probably delayed a bit. So it will get automatically compensated, but there is no shortfall of employees because we have already about at least 2 to 3% higher than the required staff, what we acquired in March itself. So for the branch openings, therefore, this is an ongoing process. We don't see any, issue in getting the employees or training the employees, because 2 months we spent more time on concentrating to change the regulations, trainings, collections. So other factors are little slow. Therefore, recruitment was little delayed itself. It was a temporary impact.
Sure. If I may squeeze in one more question, so which Nikhil had alluded earlier, so if I look at the 250-260 odd branch addition over past 4 quarters, more than 80-85 branches have been added in Bihar and UP regions. You also mentioned that, you know, the credit discipline in new geographies have been holding up good. So what has been your experience in these northern geographies pertaining to credit discipline, collections and new disbursals? Thank you.
Actually, 85% of branches are in Gujarat, Rajasthan, UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, all these 5 states actually. So all these 5 states. And our experience has been pretty good. Particularly, we are able to go to deep rural, able to get new to credit customers on a predominant basis. And the behavior and the culture of the customers are also quite good, so that it will actually align with our operating model.
Noted, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to one question per participant. Next question is from the line of Karthik Chellappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Good morning. My question is basically on our borrower count. So in the last 2 years, most of the growth in AUM has basically come from ticket size. So our borrower count has been in that 3.8, 3.9 million range. From what point do you see a more secular growth in the borrower count? And secondly, if we look at your presence today across this 14 states, what is the potential, and given your own mix of unique customers versus new to credit ratios, etc., what is the total market size in terms of number of borrowers that you can potentially reach?
Okay. So last 2 years, if you remember, at least 11-12 months was not operated properly. So it's actually equal to 1 year compared to number of months available to acquire customers. So particularly I'm talking about 21 and 22 financial years. Despite that, we have added 13.4 lakhs of new customers during this 2 years' time. And also, we have dropped off our attrition about 9.2 lakh customers. That means our net attrition would have been about 4.5 lakh customers. Unfortunately, we have wrote off about 7.2 lakh borrowers between both companies. That is why that the aberration of number of borrowers have come in. So from now on, the writing off will be lesser, and the month-on-month addition started in quite a good numbers. So we believe this year you will see good number of, as I already guided, about 10 to 12% increase in our borrowers. So we'll be able to handle. That is, we will be able to add on a net addition basis. I think you are talking about a market sizing from potentially.
Yes.
So we always believed that we still have about 90 million low-income households in this country not addressed by microfinance industry, which definitely of that more than 75 million are in rural, not in urban actually. So which means if we go deep rural and penetrate more in rural, we don't see any challenge to enhance the customer number. So at least for next 4 to 5 years point of view, industry should grow between 20-25% in terms of portfolio, at least 10-12% in terms of customer growth going forward.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir. Wish you all the very best. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So the question was, what percentage of our portfolio would be for a 3-year tenure loans now versus a year back?
Yeah, actually, currently it was about 17% earlier, 14% I think 21, 22 it was about 24% by March, and now it is about 27%. So as you see, our customer with more than 3 years percentage also kept on increasing due to non-acquisition of customers in the last 2 years. We are almost 55% of our customers are more than 3 years. Therefore, there's a high potential that the higher loans are going to 3 years term. About 27% is about, so 27% of our portfolio is, I mean, Grameen portfolio is in, standalone portfolio is in 3 years. On a consolidated basis, 22% is in 3 years currently. And it is inching up due to high retention of customers.
Okay. And the second question, you highlighted that there was run down by 9.2 lakh customers, of which 7.2 lakhs have been written off. The remaining 2 lakhs would have come down due to what reason?
No, 2-3 difference. So 13.4% is acquisition,
right.
9.2 lakh is dropped off, basically not meeting the regulatory lines, or they don't want to borrow, or we don't want to hold them or defaulted or multi, whatever the regulation. 7.2 was a defaulted NP and wrote off. So net, 7.4 wrote off, 9.2 dropped off. That means 16.6 lakh customers have been dropped overall, whereas 13.4 was added.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Thanks.
One last question, if I could squeeze in. Will we be deploying the risk-based pricing in our strategy, or we will only have a blended rate wherein we'll be taking 100 or 150 basis points of increase?
No. We already implemented risk-based pricing to our customers based on geography, based on vintage already. So our pricings are between 19% to 21.75% currently. So higher the risk, high risk states will have higher price, and low risk states will have lower price. Low vintage states will have higher price, and high vintage states will have lower price.
Thank you. Sripal, I'll request to come back for the follow-up. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Javeri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, sir, but to hop on this, question which I had earlier, so to achieve about 24-25% growth in AUM, our disbursements for next three quarters, which is quarter 2, 3, and 4, actually need to grow by about almost 30% each quarter, and most likely, we'll have to disburse about 6,500 crores a quarter. I'm just trying to reconfirm that number. So, with this number, it's possible, still to grow at about 24-25%.
I don't think we need to.
Is the math correct? First of all, we need to do about 6,500 crores a quarter kind of disbursement.
I was just coming from you. I don't think your math is correct, because our customer, our asset, average asset is almost 18 to 20 months. Therefore, we don't need to disperse that much of money. Probably 4.5 to 5,000 crores per quarter average, if we disperse, we will meet our target.
Sorry, I missed that number, the number that you mentioned.
4,500 to 5,000 per quarter.
Okay.
Per month, 1,500, if we disperse, we will meet our target.
Okay, so what you're saying is that repayment would be about 18 to 24 months, and which is why, you know, the overall target still can be. Okay. Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Our more than 90% of loans are more than two years or more, what you call, 10 years. That's why.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for being with us for this call. Wish you all the best and have a nice day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.